Yes, tonight we finish the book of Ezekiel. I started it the first Sunday of last year. I've been doing a chapter a week, so it's taken 48 weeks to go through this book. That only... Hezekiah. He's an elder.
Something not right here.
Anyway, last week I only did the first half of chapter 47 because I think the second half of chapter 47 really belongs with chapter 48. So don't turn there yet. I want you to turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 12, because that is the starting point that Ezekiel 47 and 48 is going to conclude. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abram left, and God, in the course of time, did exactly what he promised to do. In the course of time, he gave Abraham a son. Well, that doesn't make a great nation, but it's a start. And that son had another couple of sons. And one of those two sons had 12 sons. We're still far short of a nation. And particularly a great nation. And while they were occupying a small area of land, it's not all that God was going to give them. Famine comes along, they go down to Egypt, and there they are imprisoned for 400 years in slavery. But at the end of that 400 years, there's probably close to 2 million of them in existence. Now we've got a nation, but they don't have a land until God delivers them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and they occupied then the land that God gave them. And there is, it's out of order. There is how they occupied it. Unfortunately, the one on the right, the map on the right, is what they should have occupied. The map on the left is what they did occupy. That area, the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh said, you know what? We don't want to cross the Jordan River. We like it over here. A place that God did not design for us. We'll stay here, out of the will of God. There are places then to the north. And as you can see on the map on the right, that should have been occupied, that the rest of them said, you know what, that's too much work going up there and routing out the inhabitants of that land. We're satisfied just staying down here. Well, we have problems. That's not exactly the way God drew it up in his plans. So they possessed the land, well, sort of. In the course of time, they built a temple, and the glory of God indwelt the temple. Now they are truly a great nation, not only numerically, but God is manifesting himself in their presence in the temple. And you have the Queen of Sheba coming and saying, "This is fantastic." Not an exact translation of the Hebrew, but it's close enough. But then, after Solomon, the glory starts dissipating. The kingdom is divided. Sin, and particularly idolatry, sets in. In the course of time, 722 BC, the northern kingdom is taken into Assyrian captivity. 586 BC, the southern kingdom is taken into Babylonian captivity. The temple, well, Spirit of God has departed. The glory is not there. The temple is destroyed. The people decimated, and they're not in their land. So let's see, we don't have a great nation. We don't have a land. We don't have glory. It looks like all the promises of God have failed. Until we get to Ezekiel. We have the judgment upon the people for their idolatry. That's the first 38 chapters of Ezekiel. And the last handful of chapters, we see the people coming back. The bones that were dry are now knit together. Spirit of life, energized. They're once again a nation. The last couple chapters have been dealing with the temple, and the glory is now in the temple. But the people are still in exile. They need to be back in the land. And at the end of the tribulation, God is going to bring the people back into the land. Well, when they get back there, how are they going to divvy it up? Where are they going to live? And that's the introduction to Ezekiel 47, verse 13, all the way through Ezekiel chapter 48. There are a lot of things in here that will mean absolutely nothing to us as far as places on the map. We won't understand. In fact, the scholars don't understand where some of these geographical markings are. So we're kept in the dark. But chapter 47, beginning at verse 13, maps out what they should be occupying. That would be the map on the right, or yeah, the right hand side before you. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, Manasseh and Ephraim, and you shall inherit it, one as well as another." In other words, on an equal basis. It's going to be divvied up. "Concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the rest of the children of Israel. And this land shall fall unto you for an inheritance. I promised years ago." In fact, at this point in time, we're 2,000 years A.D., the promise to Abraham was roughly 2,000 years B.C., so it was 4,000 years of time, at least, is going to be between when God gave the promise to Abraham until it's fulfilled. But that's what he's talking about here. Through the rest of this chapter, there are physical descriptions or geographical descriptions of the borders, and that basically is the yellow piece of land that I have on the map there. That's how it's bordered. That's exactly the way it was enumerated back in the Old Testament for the children of Israel under Moses and Joshua. We come to chapter 48. "Now these are the names of the tribes from the north to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, to Hazar Enon." Roy, I should get you to read these. To the border of Damascus, northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are the sides of the east and west, a portion for Dan. And as you go down through here, in verse 3, there's a portion for Asher. Verse 4, a portion for Naphtali. A portion for Manasseh. The border of Ephraim is found in verse 6. The west side is a portion for Reuben. And the border of Reuben from the east side unto the west side, a portion of Judah. First 7 verses, you see the land being divvied up. Interesting, though, how it's divided. As you can see on the map on the left-hand side, there's no straight lines through their division. They all go mishmashed. It's little here, little there. In the millennial kingdom, when the land is divided up, that's how it's going to be divided. Yeah, it's very interesting. Dan will be at the very top, the northernmost part, territory that as of yet has not been occupied. Then Asher, then Naphtali, then Manasseh, then Ephraim, then Reuben, then Judah. That's what we just read here without the very details that are given there. It's interesting. Then you have a portion of land that's in the white there. Verse 8, and the border of Judah from the east side unto the west side shall be the offering which you shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth, and the length is one of the other parts from the east side to the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. In the middle there, that white part, is where the temple, where rooms for the priests shall be, places for the Levites to hang out, and for the city of Jerusalem itself. And as you read on down here, that's found in verses 8, on down through verse 12. Verse 14. And the 5,000, verse 15, that are left in the breath over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for the dwelling, and for the suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. Jerusalem shall be a city, if you would draw a circle around it, it would be 6 miles around. Today, if you do that, it's about 4 miles around. The capital is going to be enlarged. When you get on down to verse 21, and the residue shall be for the prince, that was the ruler in the temple there that we discussed the last couple of weeks. He will have a place there. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, verse 22, being in the midst of that which is the princes between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. He gets a place of his own. What is really interesting, and I missed it at the end of chapter 47, verse 22, and it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for inheritance, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, non-Israelites, Gentiles, who would happen to dwell in the land. Look at this. Which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance. Gentiles will have an inheritance in the land given to Israel, as long as they settle down and produce children. Now, the interesting thing, beginning of the millennium, the beginning of millennium, as I said last week, what do you have on earth? Only saved people. So they will not be a threat to Israel. Later on, as they reproduce children who will come into the world with a sin nature, that may be a problem. But nonetheless, they will experience God's goodness to them. The rest of the chapter tells about the division of the land to the southern, Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, and Gad. A couple of things that are really interesting. Jacob had two wives, and their names were?
Leah and Rebecca.
Not quite.
Leah and Rachel.
Leah and Rachel. They all had kids. But each of them had something else. A woman that came with them. A handmaid. And each handmaid was given to Jacob. And each handmaid had two children. Bilhah gave birth to Dan and Naphtali. See if you can see it. Dan is up here. Naphtali is there. Zilpah had Asher and Gad. The divisions of the land that are farthest away from the temple were to the sons of the handmaids. The children to the wives, the two wives of Jacob, are closer. Interesting. A couple of other interesting things about it. Let's see. Here we go. Simeon, right there in the brown. If you go back a slide, Simeon is found in the midst of Judah. What happened to the tribe of Simeon? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 49, Simeon and Levi were involved in a great sin. And in that passage, God says, as part of the judgment, they are going to be scattered. The Levites never had land to call their own. They were scattered throughout in cities throughout the land of Israel. Fulfillment of prophecy. The Simeonites, some of them were incorporated into the tribe of Judah. Most of them left. Many of them going to the foreign countries. They were scattered all over the place. Yet in the millennial kingdom, they're going to be back and they're going to have a portion of land. What do you call that? Grace. The curse has been done away. God is acting graciously to these people. Another interesting thing. You have the tribe of Dan up here. If you go to Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 Jews are sealed at the beginning of the tribulation period of the tribes of Israel, except one. Would you like to take a guess what tribe is not mentioned? You are insightful. There's no mention of the tribe of Dan. Part of probably a judgment upon the tribe for their sin. Yet we have grace. And apparently, even though 12,000 from that tribe weren't sealed at the beginning, there must have been an allotment of them that came to faith during the tribulation times. Interesting. Very interesting. So now what do you have? Well, you have the people existing great numbers, a great nation. You have a temple where the glory of God is. In fact, the Son of God is residing in it. And you have people inheriting a land just as God promised to Abraham. He fulfilled it. the glory of the nation is finally accomplished. What do we learn from this? Three things. The fulfillment of God's promises may not be immediate, but they're never forgotten. 4,000 at least years from the time the promise was given to Abraham till its fulfillment. God never forgot. Never forgot. I'm looking around here, and I think we're all at the place where we go from one room to the next, and we say, what was it that I came in here for? Mm-hmm. We forget something that we just put in our mind 15 seconds ago. God never forgets a promise. How many promises has He made concerning you? He'll never forget one. Proof right here in Ezekiel 47 and 48. Number two, sin robbed Israel of the glory of God's presence, but never the genuineness of His love. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did God choose Israel? Go back to Deuteronomy. Not because they were a great and wonderful people, but because God loved them. And all through Abraham's unbelief, all through their journeys in Egypt, all through their failures in the wilderness, all through their failures in the promised land, all through the times when God says, I can't stand among you, I'm leaving from the temple, never stopped loving them, even in His discipline, even when He sent His Messiah to them and they said, crucify Him. He never stopped loving them. Aren't you glad that God never stops loving you? Number three, just as Israel received its inheritance with the coming of the Lord, so too will the church receive its inheritance. Peter tells us that there is an inheritance laid up for us in heaven, reserved, undefiled. And one day, Christ will come back and take us to it. We'll enjoy not a land, but a place where God dwells. Praise the Lord. And we can rest in that. We are done with Ezekiel. Now, we are done with our study of Ezekiel. But we are not done with Ezekiel. The promises and the teachings of Ezekiel will continue out through the rest of our lives. I got to tell you, it's not an easy book to preach through. There's a lot of work going into understanding all these different things and making application to it. Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll start a study through the book of Colossians. Yeah, and we'll take our good old time. It'll take us to Christmas till we get through it. So that's what's on the agenda, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what we have learned as we've tried to understand the 48 chapters of Ezekiel. We thank You that whether we got all the minutia comprehended, we saw without question a great and wonderful God portrayed in it. Lord, help us not to make the same mistakes as the children of Israel made, but help us to rejoice that even if we do, there's a God who will always fulfill His promises, a God who will never stop loving us, and a one day a God who will come and take us to our own inheritance. And with that, we look forward to that day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We praise you in his name. Amen. Have a good week.